Welcome to the Dr. Leslie Show with Faith Consciousness, our bridge to wholeness and clarity as we navigate this rapidly changing world. Friends, this is where we move from victim of our history to author of our destiny. And today I want to give you the most useful thing I know about how life works. Okay, it fits in 5 words, a child can get it. And by the end of this hour, you're going to know how to use it on the person who's been troubling you the most. Okay, and I'm not talking about a stick. We're talking about tuning forks. Okay, so just stay with me for a minute. Today we are focused on the truth that you meet what you match, and you can change your match. So let's go into it. So friends, imagine a tuning fork sitting on a table, all right? You know what that looks like? It's like a little handle at the bottom that splits into 2 pieces of metal that extend up into the air. You hit that tuning fork and it vibrates and creates a sound, okay? What it's really doing is putting a vibrational frequency into the air that is not a sound unless you have an ear that translates that frequency into sound. Isn't that interesting? So, and that applies, we're going to get back to that in a minute, because this frequency, this vibration that goes out into the world ends up being translated into something. And with a tuning fork, this vibration that we call sound waves get translated into your experience of sound, all right? Now, if you have a second tuning fork on that same table that you pick up, which is tuned to the same or is made to emit the same frequency, if its shape is the same shape as the one you're already holding, then when you hit your one tuning fork and it emits those waves into the air, without doing anything, the second tuning fork is going to start vibrating and creating a sound of its own. Okay, let's think about that for a minute. Emitting the frequency and causing sound waves to come into the air invisibly from one fork is going to make a matching fork do the same thing, okay? So you end up with not one, but 2 sounds, even though you only touched one fork. Because when that wavelength of sound wave is moving through the air from that one tuning fork, when that wavelength comes into the proximity of the other fork, they come into what we call resonance, all right? So that sound is going to come out of the second fork. You have 2 things active together. They've joined together, they create the same sound together, and they're kind of merging in the field, we'll call it, because they're both emitting the same note. Okay, friends? Such is life. So today is about meeting what you match. So that tuning fork matches the other one that's made the same way, and they meet each other in sound in that same room. If you bring a tuning fork that's the shape that emits any other note but the one you are holding, it's not going to do anything when you hit your tuning fork and it sends out its sound. Any other note tuning fork is just going to sit there, dormant, all right? This is how life is for us, friends. We are emitting instruments. Your physical body is an emitting instrument, just like a tuning fork. And you're walking around putting out a signal, or let's call it a potential sound, into the field all the time. I've heard this saying once, I can't hear what you're saying because who you're being is so loud. Or we'll flip it around. Who you're being is so loud, I can't hear anything you're saying. You see, who we are, deep down within ourselves, what we believe about ourselves, about life, about God, about what's possible, about what's not possible, what our fears are saying, and what our faith is saying, they all end up being one net emission, okay? A net output. Like, how much faith do I have? How much fear do I have? So if I have, like, faith at the level of 10 out of 10, and then I have fear at the level of 5 out of 10, then my net output is 5 out of 10 of faith. You got it? Okay. Or vice versa. You know, you can offset your fear with some faith to where your net output is still fearful, but not as much as it would have been if you didn't have some faith back there offsetting some of that fear, all right? The good news is we can change what we are emitting. We can change that tuning fork. We can change what we're sending out. But the first step towards that power is to understand that you are a tuning fork. You are sending out a frequency. You're emitting a signal. And that signal may not be what you're consciously telling yourself. You might be thinking, I'm not going to get this job. I'm not going to get this job. I'm not going to get this job. Okay? As you walk into your interview. And this is interesting. And if deep down and inside you're feeling a sense of security in life and you're thinking all good things are meant for me, I am a worthy, divinely created child of God, then that second thought, if you're holding that deep inside and that's being emitted, even if your mind is stumbling and staggering a little bit, that deeper emission and inner knowing that is more constant than your momentary fear will be what shows up. And that's going to be what your interviewer receives and hears. They're going to feel a sense of respect and value for you because you just emitted it about yourself. Okay? People will pick up on your frequency. And the match to your fear frequency is going to be what comes back to you. Just like that signal from the tuning fork has the same match come back to it when there's another tuning fork of the same note. So life offers us a multitude of potential tuning forks in the room. And which one is going to vibrate depends on what signal you're putting out. Now, after the break, when we come back, we're going to learn more about what it means to change what you're a match to, how to do it, what it looks like, and how life is going to show up. Stay tuned, and we'll be back after this word. Welcome back. This is the Dr. Leslie Show with Faith Consciousness, moving from victim of your history to author of your destiny. And how do we do that? We understand the match. You meet what you match, and you can change your match. So, okay, let's review. We're talking about tuning forks today. This is our instrument conversation, and in a minute, I'm going to show you how it applies. We're going to tell you a couple stories, true stories, evidence of what the science is about, all right? The science is the formula of creation, which we call EVE, Energetic Vibrational Exchange. In today's teaching, we're talking about a demonstration of that or like another analogy with tuning forks. So you've got one tuning fork on the table, you hit that fork and it starts vibrating and making a sound. Imagine there's five other tuning forks on the table. None of those are going to move at all or make any noise unless there's one that matches the tuning fork you're holding. If you're holding a tuning fork and then there's another one like it on the table, that other one is going to start vibrating and making a sound on its own. Now, how does that happen? Is that like magic? No, it's called resonance. When you hit the tuning fork and it emits this wave into the air, the match to that fork will also start vibrating and making its own sound. So in other words, it's like that same signal is coming back at you if it's in your space. If it's in your space. So if there's a match to what you're putting out, you're going to have it show up in your reality, okay? And the truth is, we tend to magnetize into our reality the matches to what we put out. So let's break it down and bring this into some examples, okay? Here's my first one. And before we go into the story, I'm going to give you the scripture. Matthew 9:29 says, according to your faith, be it unto you. According to your faith, meaning measured out to the size of it. Okay, Jesus came to the two blind men and said to them, according to your faith, be it unto you. In other words, to the degree of your faith, or to the frequency of your note, be it unto you. Okay, he handed this to the two men standing in front of him. They both had enough faith to be a match to that healing. They brought it back to themselves. The bleeding woman, he said, daughter, your faith has healed you. He turned around and pointed at her, okay? She had the right frequency to be a match to that wholeness, and it came. She was putting out the signal. The scripture says she said to herself, if only I can touch his robe, I will be healed. She was a match to touching his robe. She made her way over. She grabbed the robe. The match happened. The condition occurred. The healing. She set it up. She made the vibrational echo come back, and her body responded. Okay, Solomon gave the mechanism. He said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Okay, as a human thinks in our hearts, so we are. So let's focus on this for a minute. The heart is where a thought stops being a conversation in your head or an opinion. It becomes a state of being when it's in your heart. And your heart is the tuning fork. Your heart is what is emitting the signal. Okay, here's my example. Number one, my house. When I first moved to America from New Zealand, my whole life savings sat inside that house that I still held in New Zealand. So I rented out my property. I moved here, and in a period of time, I prayed about it. I got prompted to put that house on the market and decided to sell it. Okay, everything to my name was in that house. And before I wrote a single number down, I went into meditation and I prayed. And I said, Holy Spirit, please raise my self-worth as high as I'm able to reach at this time. Now, what was I really doing there? When I asked the Holy Spirit to raise my self-worth, you know what that means? It means I'm asking the Holy Spirit to determine the shape of my tuning fork. Raising my self-worth means up-level the signal that I am emitting, okay? Up-level the signal of worthiness I am being. When you remember that you are a king's kid, that you are divinely made, perfectly made, and that you are loved and honored exactly as you are, and nothing can diminish that inherent value. When you own that, when you think that thought through your heart, and emit that signal. When you say, Holy Spirit, remind me of the truth of my worthiness. You are lining yourself up to send out a signal of high value. That's what happened to me on the day. On the day, my home that held all that I owned in the world in it was going on the market by auction. In New Zealand, where I used to live, we often sell houses by auction. So before the auction, I prayed, I meditated, and I asked, please raise my level of self-deserve, my level of my own perception of my worthiness and what's available for me. Raise it to the highest that I'm able to reach right now. And I had written several numbers on a piece of paper by then. All of them added up to equal a 9. That's a whole nother story. But these were all numbers below and above the price that I knew that house was truly valued at, okay, that I was putting on the market. I wrote 5 numbers down. I said the prayer and then said, which of these numbers is the closest match? I circled the one in the middle. Now, don't get confused by what the number I'm going to say here, because this is not about U.S. dollars. It's going to sound a lot higher than what it was, because this was New Zealand dollars. New Zealand dollars at that time were worth like less than half of a U.S. dollar. So the number I circled said 675,000. Okay. Now that was way higher than my highest hope and prayer for what I would get for my house. Okay. Higher than I had dared imagine. But it was on a white post-it note. I circled it and told no one. All right. Within 45 minutes, that auction began. And I heard it live through the telephone. My real estate agent was there in the room, had me on speaker so I could hear every movement of this auction. And I heard it start lower than my lowest asking price, right? Lower than what I would even be willing to receive for this house. It started below what I ever imagined, and I felt discouraged. And then slowly but surely, these bids started coming in when the auctioneer was even counting down, going once, going twice. Oh, there comes another little incremental lift. And step by step, during this auction, that buying price of that house went up. And these people at the auction were bidding slightly higher and higher amounts until, to the dollar, the hammer fell on the auction floor at $675,000, the exact number that I had circled on that piece of paper. That number came to me because I had become someone who could stand at that height in my experience of self-deserve with the help of the Holy Spirit at my request. I was able to stretch my faith and believe that it was possible to access that number. And bang, to the dollar, that's exactly what that house sold for. This story is true. I haven't manufactured any of it. And I'm telling you this testimony as evidence and proof of what's possible for you. Okay, the number came because I became a match to that number. Now, there's a number of ways for you to begin to elevate your own frequency, to elevate what tone your instrument is sending out there to the world that's going to bring back a match to it. In scriptures, we call this reaping what you sow, because you are sowing into the field of life. Scientists call it the quantum field. In that quantum field of consciousness, you are sowing a signal that represents who and what you are in your own perception, in your own belief. It represents what you feel you deserve. It represents what you expect out of life. And life is going to send you back a match to that. That's your match. So on today's show, we're going to be discussing ways for you to level up to a higher match. You can change your match. You can change your signal. You can change the vibration, the sound, the call that you are sending out to life. And what's going to come back to you is going to match that new call. Stay tuned and we'll find out what that looks like. This is a Dr. Leslie Show with Faith Consciousness. And we're back. This is a Dr. Leslie Show with Faith Consciousness, moving from victim of your history to author of your destiny. Why? Because it's time. Okay, as we go back into this show, in this segment, I'm going to lead in with reminding us all of the bigger picture, okay? The teachings of faith consciousness are not just about teaching you the power of creation through faith, okay, of how you can align with the highest, most amazing heavenly outcomes in this world before you die and go to heaven, how you can align and allow heaven on earth to emerge for you personally. That's what's here. That's what's possible now. But the bigger picture of the human consciousness journey, okay? So we're just going to touch on that for a minute to remind you there's three eras that we can look at as far as the progression of human consciousness. It started from the beginning, from the Garden of Eden, with what's called polarity consciousness. From the moment that we ate of the fruit of knowledge of good and evil, we stepped into an awareness of two polar opposite potentials, good and evil, light and dark, happy and sad, good and bad, pain and pleasure, tall and short, near and far, soon or a long way away. All of these comparative realities are a part of experiencing a 3D reality, and they are necessary for us to live in a free will zone. So understand there was a divine plan around this from the beginning, And the first era of human consciousness is depicted through the Old Testament. And we won't go deep into those teachings right now, but let's just say that frequency range, that bandwidth, that level of consciousness is coming from an understanding of life happens to me. We feel pretty darn powerless, and God feels a long way away. And there's a lot of challenge in that, okay? The second bandwidth of human consciousness, which evolved during the second era of humanity being on planet Earth, is called Christ consciousness. It's depicted by the New Testament. And the motto in that era is life happens for me, okay? We begin to see there's a higher plan. We begin to be able to forgive, even when things aren't going our way. We're not feeling as solidly victimized. We're holding hands with God through Christ. We're a part of that bridge that says, I know I'm here on earth. I know things feel challenging. I know a lot happens that I don't have any control over, but I'm holding hands with heaven. Through Christ consciousness, I am believing for more. I'm opening into faith. I'm allowing myself to forgive the grievances that life brings my way, which means I'm settling myself inside as well. I'm beginning to feel the peace of God even amongst my suffering. How do we do that? Through forgiveness. When we forgive our enemies, when we forgive our challenges, when we forgive our disappointments, we move into peace amongst the challenge, okay? That is incredibly powerful. And that's what the bandwidth of Christ consciousness brings us into. Now, since 2012, we've moved into the third era. The era, friends, where we move into our role as soul to fulfill the destiny that Jesus prophesied when he said, "Greater things will you also do." We have moved into the era where we become the creator. And our motto in this era is, "Life happens through me." I become a knowing instrument of that which creates life in the form that it will come to me in this world. I become aligned with the divine forces that have created worlds. And as that child of God, I begin to be an instrument of God's will on earth. I begin to be a vessel that brings the fulfillment of the Lord's Prayer that says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That divine will begin to demonstrate itself on earth like it is in heaven. Friends, that's called heaven on earth. And we are ready and able to move into alignment with the awareness of how to be the instruments of that coming to be. So here we go. As we move into this segment, I want to remind you of my own healing. Yes, it happened late June of last year. My breast cancer had been diagnosed in March. After 5 years of upheaval behind me and the legal battle still running, I sat down for a biocharger session wanting to be healed, wanting it with everything in me. I wanted to be healed of this cancer that was within my body. But while I was in that session, while I was in that energy frequency emitted by that particular instrument of modern technology, something moved inside of me. My focus slid off of getting healed. It moved away from wanting something that was wrong to be changed within me. My attention moved somewhere else, and I felt myself merged with God. I felt whole. I was feeling a closeness with God that was so complete that wanting an outcome had no place within me. I wasn't wanting for anything. I felt like there was nothing to be wanted. I felt so connected with God and eternity, I was crying tears of joy and said, "It doesn't matter." Now understand that at that moment, the tuning fork changed. Okay, listen up to this. My wanting to be healed carried the note of the sickness within it. The wanting to be healed was declaring a statement that says, "There is sickness, and I want for it to be changed," which means that healing is lacking. That was the signal that the wanting to be healed carries. And every time I reached for healing, I was sounding the note of the thing I was wanting to reach away from, the sickness. That afternoon, I set that fork down and I sounded a different note. The note that I emitted at that moment was the note of wholeness. My being held the note of wholeness, and my body was the second fork in that room. My body answered the note I was holding. I sent out a frequency of wholeness. My heart held the thought of wholeness. It felt it as a state of being, and it happened. So the negative biopsy came through in July of 2025, 1 year ago this month. And I am well while I sit here talking to you with the legal matter still open on the calendar, even though my challenges have not all resolved, my healing sustains. I stopped being a match to the illness and I became a match to the whole, the one. And I won, W-O-N, that battle with illness because I moved to a new match. So wanting is a beautiful thing, and it's an honest job. Wanting is your inner positioning system reading the distance between where you stand and where your heart intends to go. Matching is what closes the distance, okay? The field reads what is real inside of you. It reads the note your body is holding on an ordinary day, a Tuesday. The thing your heart is quietly accepting as normal, the thing that you are expecting as truth and fact in life, that's what the field hears and brings back to you. When we come back, we're going to talk more about how to move into faith that moves your belief to a new reality and brings that reality into being. Stay tuned. We're back. This is the Dr. Leslie Show with Faith Consciousness, moving from victim of your history to author of your destiny, and learning today how to change your match. Okay, friends, we're back and we're in that conversation of knowing that we bring into our reality a match to a signal that's going out. You know, I had a guest on my radio show years ago who had written a book called The Bully Between Your Ears, and they did a scientific research project, a research study on the victims of bullying in schools. So these were children who were victims of bullying, and what they found was consistent was that children who were victimized by bullies had a low self-esteem already. They had some sort of fear or lack of value within themselves, self-doubt, that bullies could pick up on. Okay, let's just say they'll walk into the room and discern that frequency and would end up picking on the kids who already had a feeling of victimhood within them. Okay, that's important to learn. It is once again saying life brings back a match. Now, I want to put an important caveat on this. When another person chooses to harm you, that harm sits on their account. This teaching speaks to your own note and nothing else. Okay, it puts your hand back on your own fork, and that's a gift, but this is not saying continue to put yourself in harm's way. If things are happening that are unjust, unfair, or even dangerous to you, stand up. Your first step towards making a new match is to do the right thing to keep yourself safe right now. Removing yourself from the circumstance or putting up what safeguards are necessary for you. And in the meantime, by the way, doing that in and of itself is honoring your worthiness. That means you're changing the fork. You're creating a higher bar as you protect and put boundaries up around your well-being and your happiness. Okay, they go hand in hand. And in time, life will reflect that back to you. Okay, so here we go. We're going to talk about the person who's been costing you the most sleep. Okay, you get to strike one fork in any room you walk into, your own fork, and the steadier note in the room leads the room. So let's talk about what potentials there can be, just examples of circumstances in life where you can change that signal, change what your tuning fork is sending out, change your match, okay? The wayward child. The note most of us carry into that room is fear dressed up as advice. The child hears one message that says, I expect the worst of you. Try holding settled confidence in who they are becoming. Try moving your faith lens towards what's possible. Imagine that child moving into their higher potential. And love that arrives with no lecture attached can be what you're bringing. That can change what comes back through that child. Okay, the grumpy boss. We walk in already braced, and bracing reads as opposition across any table. Try composure plus honest curiosity about the pressure he's carrying that you can't see. Okay? Expect things to feel better, even with that person who's been grumpy and difficult. Project a different frequency about it. Okay, the distant spouse, we carry a running tally of what's missing or what we have blame about or resentment. That tally is a note that that other person can feel and hear, even when it's in silence. Try appreciation spoken out loud for what is present today. Look for what there is to appreciate and feed your energy into that. Understand that where attention goes, energy grows. And when you turn what you're attending to, you change the frequency of that tuning fork and you line yourself up for another potential outcome. Okay. So again, if someone's causing you harm, distance is a holy option, and you have my blessing to take it. This teaching walks with you at a safe distance just as well as it walks with you in the room. But know this, change your note and watch how differently the room answers you. Change what you are emitting. Change the vibrational seed you are planting and watch life give you a different product to be reaping. The Bible says you will reap what you sow. Now, I gave you a story. I gave you an example. I reminded you of my own healing and how I changed my focus in that moment from desiring to be healed, which says right now something's wrong here and I want it to be different, to merging and feeling wholeness with the divine. And as I held that frequency in that space, my body responded and the healing happened. Like the woman with the issue of blood, as soon as she touched that robe and felt in herself that wholeness, you can do this too. And I'm going to give you another testimony. What I haven't shared with you yet is I am a second generation faith consciousness creator. My father stood on the teachings of his favorite evangelists, Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin. And he stood on scriptures, believing and holding God accountable for his own promises, saying, Lord, you said that if your word abides in me, that you would give me the desires of my heart. And he said he had a desire to come up with a new invention and develop a successful business. So what happened was my family had bought a wood-burning stove insert to go in the fireplace to heat the house. This was in the 1970s when we had a big energy crisis, and lots of people were buying these stoves to heat their house with. So you could put wood in it, burn the fire, and the stove turned that heat from the fire into generated heated air that got blown through the house and heated the house with using much less energy for it. So we got the stove. My mom looked at it and said, geez, I wish it was dressier. Okay, it was kind of rustic and black, and she was wishing that it was a bit more in keeping with the more formal living room. And my dad went, He heard the desire. He saw a need. and he was inspired. He had an inspired idea come for an invention. So Dad made calls, and he started having this brass-looking trim made to dress up that stove. It was heat-resistant, and we, the kids, started rolling in paper these brass trim kits that Dad started having manufactured for these stoves. Meanwhile, he was still working his day job in insurance. Then one day, Dad went to lunch at Gus's Served Beef restaurant, which only recently closed. Okay, it was in Charlotte, North Carolina. Dad went to lunch. Gus seated all single people at one long table, the way often countries in Europe do, okay? So Dad sat next to a stranger. They're both eating lunch, and they started conversing about what they do. Turns out the man next to Dad on this day at Gus's Served Beef was the CEO of the largest wood-burning stove insert manufacturing company in the world, Black Bart Stoves of Canada. In that conversation, my dad shared with him his invention, this heat-resistant trim that was decorating our stove, and after lunch, they both drove 2 miles to our house where my father showed this man the trim kit that he had on our stove. From that day, that CEO placed an order with my father for 40,000 trim kits. 40,000 kits. And paid my dad up front. Okay? That was the moment. That day was the miracle. My dad had aligned with a belief for an outcome that he stood on God's word for. And he got his miracle. Out of the whole world, he ended up sitting next to the CEO of the largest manufacturing company in the world of those wood-burning stoves. The very person that could launch his business into massive success, which it did then become. And my father became a wealthy, grateful, God-centered businessman and gave God the credit and called the business God's business. He ultimately bought a private plane and put a Christian Ichthus fish on the tail, saying this is all by God's hand and giving God the glory. So I'm showing you an example of how this faith practice works. I am second generation. So my question to you is, ask yourself, what am I a match to right now? What note am I carrying with me? And Paul reminds us the method in one line: be transformed by the renewal of your mind, Romans 12:12. Your match today has a ceiling, and you can lift that ceiling. Stand in it and do that today. Friends, thank you for joining us today. I want to remind you, as every time, that you are never alone. You are worthy. You are loved. And all is well. This is the Dr. Leslie Show. Walk sacred.
Great radio doesn't end here. Catch the full episode and dive or into our archives on the WSIC News app.
WSIC 105.9 FM, 100.7 FM, 1400 AM, Statesville, Lake Norman's home for local talk radio. WSIC, local, starts here.